Welcome to the Gritty Hour. Time to get down to the nitty gritty.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Gritty Hour. I have a special guest here today. I have Orest from OldGuyTalksToMe.com. And basically, he runs a podcast himself, which is centered around how to have, as he says it, a kick-ass life as you get older. And welcome to the Gritty Hour, Orest.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Oh, absolutely. So am I. And, you know, I forgot to ask you before we started recording. I know you're in Canada, but I don't know where.
No, I'm not in Canada. No, I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay. I've heard of that. Yeah. No, for some reason, I thought you were Canadian. I don't know why. We had a guest a couple of weeks ago that was from British Columbia, so... I've been listening to your podcast. I really like it. Tell our folks what it's all about.
Well, a lot of it is my podcast has to do a lot with maybe self-interest, because as I'm getting older, I'm 69, soon to be 70. There's lots of things that will happen. We talked a little bit briefly. I just had I'm dealing with an ostomy bag right now that's going to be reversed here in a few weeks.
Yes.
And so when you get older, you get stuff that happens. And there's lots of stuff out there I spent a lot of time in the functional medicine, or people used to call it anti-aging space. So I interview a lot of experts on stuff like that, like from stem cells to peptides, testosterone. And then we get a lot into relationships. We talk about no sex marriage. We talk about menopause. Talk about erectile dysfunction. We talk about cigars. We talk about scotch, porn addiction, all sorts of stuff. So whatever whim I have that particular week, we do it, and we do it with I try to do it with a sense of humor, because I think there's a sense of humor in everything. There was only one thing that I could not bring a sense of humor to. And it was, and I knew it when I started it, that particular podcast. And that was a sex trafficking.
Sex trafficking?
And yeah.
Okay.
And there's, everything else, porn, this and that. I had a guy who was a stand-up comic about suicides, because he was been very suicidal. All sorts of that other stuff, end of life conversations, all that stuff. You can put a funny spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always gals humor at funerals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that is funny about sex trafficking. It's a horrible thing. It's becoming more and more prevalent.
It seems to be.
And I interviewed a woman who's basically an expert in prevention of that. And so that was the only one that we never really hit the humor button on.
Mm-hmm.
With everything else, but pretty much there's a lot of jokes about ED.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of jokes about ED.
Well, it lends itself to a lot of jokes, yeah.
Oh,
but it is a fun podcast. I get a kick out of how you present certain subjects, In fact, this afternoon in preparation for this podcast, I was watching one you did with a Dr. Howell. And I think you would, just to show our audience that you do encompass a lot of subjects, and it might not all be age centric. Anybody of any age could enjoy this, unless you're, under 18. I wouldn't say that, but you did one with this Dr. Howe, and you were talking about transgenders participating in sports, and it's mm-hmm. funny that I don't know when you did that one, but that Leah Thompson's in the news, who just won the NCAA swim championship.
Yeah.
Who was a guy.
We did that actually around the Olympics, where they had that, the trans athlete from New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Powerlifter.
Yeah.
Which is a similar type of thing. And I'll tell you, Scott he's an MD, PhD, former engineer. And the guy's just really off the charts smart.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I have to stop him during the interview to say, like, okay, could you use words that like most of us understand? And he builds himself as an androgen expert, and he and another PhD, helped write the position paper for the USA Powerlifting Association on trans athletes. And they did a lot of research in this whole field. And I know that, that what I'm going to say is in some circles is very, very politically incorrect. And quite frankly, I don't care. But there's so much science that, that this, a trans has so much more of an advantage over a biological females in just about any sport than you can imagine. I mean, you look at the swimmer. Okay. First of all, the swimmer is still has the muscles essentially of when, before he had the hormone therapy,
the guy that just won the championship.
Right.
Or
yeah.
The girl.
Yeah. So
whichever.
He, yeah. Yeah. But you know, so I refer to him as a trans. And so he still has essentially all the same muscles is, you know, if we're a swimmer, you know, like a lot of times if you want extra resistance, you get paddles for training. Well, his hands are much bigger. Most men have more neurons that fire per muscle. They also have more, in general, they have on average more fast twitch muscle fibers, larger bones, and a slew of other things. And so, you know, they are not the same as a biological woman. And the other thing is that people go like, well, oh, well, did they lower their testosterone? Well, that is a false, it's kind of a path that people send down because they don't really understand that a biological XY processes testosterone differently than a biological XX. And so the same levels of testosterone are much more, we as males are much, we are geared to process testosterone very effectively. So they can have the same amount of testosterone. It really doesn't matter because an XY will process it more efficiently.
Right.
So, you know, and you see this, you know, I remember my youngest daughter used to play basketball and she was a really good basketball player. And right until about the eighth grade, the boys and the girls played equal, essentially. She was in club ball and they were actually very aggressive. These girls were incredibly aggressive on the basketball court. But what happens is that when the boys start getting testosterone in their systems, their game, boys jump, their game goes vertical. The girls' basketball game does not get very vertical. You know, just about any 6 foot player in the NBA can dunk a basketball.
Right.
You know, and the people that are real big will dunk it with one hand, two hands, or whatever. You know, and they get their, you know, their head is above the rim a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, now never mind their hands, their head is above the rim. And so I think it's incredibly unfair to women, especially young women, who are put in this position of competing on a very uneven playing field. And I think it's a travesty, and we, people like you and me, and parents and others, really need to point this out. I really don't care if you want to be trans. That doesn't bother me one way or the other. I really don't. We have a family friend who is a trans, and that's fine. They actually went the whole way. Now the swimmer has not had any surgery done. Our friend actually had the surgery done. So it is totally unfair to women athletes to be competing against the trans athlete.
Yeah, well, I think that's the contention that the girl who came in second place is saying now. She obviously she would have won if he wasn't competing, or she or the trans wasn't competing. But I, you know, without getting, I know it's being the science behind it is being debated and discussed, and you know, all of that is above my pay grade. But I go by the gut, and I can just say you don't see a hell of a lot of women transitioning to men competing in male sports.
It so doesn't happen. That, and there is no science. I mean, Scott and this other PhD, they had a 2-hour YouTube thing where they went into the science of this, and they went in. I mean, they really. I mean, Scott, like you don't want to argue with this guy because he's just going to blow you away with science. It was, they went into the science of this, and just you know, we talked about the muscle mass, the fast switch muscle fibers, neurons fight, you know, all that stuff, mass. You know, it all of those things are big factors. And plus, you don't really lose even with the hormone therapy. I mean, you could give LeBron James all the hormones to basically grow breasts on him. But he's still going to be, you know, if he goes to the WNBA, he's going to be by far the best player in the WNBA.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing, you know.
he doesn't lose that much from all the hormone therapy. So this is a big fallacy.
Well, you know, I was going to say when all of these kinds of things come up, these debatable issues, I always think common sense will prevail, but we do have a dearth of common sense in this world nowadays. So,
who the hell knows? I'm not counting on common sense.
No.
So, yeah, but I'm going to say this again to everyone that's listening. Our problem is, at least I view boomers, the things where boomers are wrong, is they just let this kind of go on and on and on until we got to where we are now, which is in crazy land. We are in crazy land as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we've reached a level of ridiculousness, yes.
Right. And yeah. So a lot of that has to do with, well, I don't want to cause an argument. I don't want to do that. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Those days are gone. It's time to stand up.
Yeah.
It's time to stand up. And I'm not talking about being disrespectful. I'm not talking about calling names. I'm not talking about, you know, whatever, you know, but it's time to start talking and start talking about actual facts that exist.
Right. Right.
And that's what people don't do.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. We love the soapboxes. That's why we started podcasts, you see. But, I've discussed in many of our previous podcasts about the one thing that is lacking is critical thinking. People don't think things through, you know, they take things at face value and they don't think beyond that. And this can fall into that category as part of that problem, you know?
Well, the challenge also right now is that like how you feel is really way more important than facts. And no, they aren't. Facts are way more important than how you feel.
Right.
Because most of the time your feelings will change over time. And I'm not sure that how you feel is your responsibility. You're responsible for your own feelings. I'm responsible for my feelings, and you're responsible for your feelings. So if somebody is offended by something I say, you know, especially if it's factual, especially if it's not like a personal insult, then you know what? That's their responsibility. Yeah. Don't throw it on me.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. So you that was an interesting podcast. I refer our listeners to that one, which you can find on YouTube, but the link to it would be from Orris' website, which is oldguytalkstome.com. And right. But basically you don't really focus on the video aspect of your podcast. You basically I would say predominantly on Apple or
most Apple, Stitcher, Spotify.
Which is what Google, I should be, because I have a voice for I have a face for radio, so I should stick to the
me too.
Yeah, but you do encompass a lot of subjects, and you do it in a you know, lighthearted way, which is what I found appealing. You know, you find the humor in things, you know. And so what are some of the other things you talk about in your podcast, just so our audience knows?
We talk about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that most couples argue about, two things, money and sex.
Mm.
And as part of I'm putting out a program, and you can find out more about them and pitch my thing, the Standard Academy /Get Magazine. If you get that, you get my digital magazine, but it'll also lead you into my program. But I talk about the things that people can do to improve the quality of their relationships with their. I don't know if you're married or not. You know, I'm married almost 30 years to the same woman. Got married very late in life, and you know, it's like everyone, we've had our ups and downs, things like that. But people stop improving their relationships, and then they wonder why they are where they are. And just from a health standpoint, if you don't work out at the gym, you're not going to stay strong.
Uh-huh.
And so if you don't work on your relationship with your significant other, it's by the natural tendency is entropy, to the least ordered state, which uh-huh. is chaos and the deterioration. And it happened, and part of it also is often it happens so slowly that people don't really understand that it's actually going on. You know, it goes, you know, it bit by bit, bit by bit. And then the next thing you know, they're kind of like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I living with you? Do we need to go talk to the lawyer? Do we need a counselor? Do we need that? And so, so we talk a lot about relationships, intimacy. And I also spend a lot of time talking about testosterone.
Uh-huh.
And just as we get into this, I am not a physician.
Uh-huh.
This is opinion only.
Did you play one on TV?
You are responsible. this is my disclaimer. You are responsible for your own shit.
Uh-huh.
Before you start any program, consult with an appropriate healthcare professional.
There you
go. There we go. Now I can say whatever. I can say whatever.
Now you're released from liability. See, that's good.
Yeah, kind of.
But you do get into the weeds in terms of techniques. I know you discussed. Erectile dysfunction. You discussed, general health issues as you get older. In addition to relationships.
As everybody knows, I'm a great proponent of testosterone optimization for men. I myself have been on testosterone for over 25 years, way before it became popular. My primary care doctor was telling me all sorts of things were going to happen. I was going to get a heart attack. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. All this sort of stuff. And it turns out that I just didn't sound right to me. I think the big vindication was that there was a Mayo Clinic consensus paper. I'm talking about optimization, and that a lot of the quote-unquote the urban legends about how bad testosterone is for you are actually urban legends, and they're not backed up by any science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you say you take this testosterone, what do you have, a prescription? Or how does that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I get one. Anything I do that requires a prescription, I have a prescription for.
All right, so you don't take over the counter supplements.
No. So the challenge with the I won't mention any brand names, but the challenge with the over the counter things is this: yes, they do raise your testosterone levels. At the same time, they don't raise them significantly for you to get really the effect that you need to get effect. So, mm-hmm. so it's like if you had an antibiotic and then they said like take two antibiotics three times a day and to get the effect, but maybe you're just taking a half a pill or a quarter a pill, you're not getting enough of the antibiotic in you. So yes, they do raise your testosterone level. There's no doubt about that, because they'd be sued. For the levels, and I don't get into my personal levels, but for the levels to make a really significant difference, you don't. And it's hard to find good physicians in this that are knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. Because you have all these clinics right now that are just cash cows, and they end up giving you not just a testosterone, but they end up giving you a whole bunch of stuff that you don't really need. Some of it, actually, in my opinion, is not good for you. And it, for me, it's a life enhancer. It's an incredibly great antidepressant. My thinking is very sharp. It helps you with your acumen. I'm very decisive, and it helps me keep muscle mass on and fat, and to a certain extent fat off. I generally tend to be fat. That just runs in my family, and it's a battle I've fought through. I've fought my whole life. To me, this optimization is real important. But finding a good doctor to do this, a functional medicine doctor, requires some research. And they don't, your primary care physician's not going to do it. If you think you're going to do this on your health insurance, on your Medicare, it ain't going to work.
Well, I'm curious, because I being ignorant about it, how do you receive it? By injection? By a pill?
Injection.
Okay.
There's a couple of ways. I like injection. Some people like creams. Some people like pellets. I don't like the pellets because I tried them and I had issues with them in terms of them coming out and things like that. I do my own injections. It's very easy. Once you get used to it, it's not a big deal to do that. And one of the things that let me talk a little bit about lab values, because there's a thing called the Male Normative Aging Study, and it was done up in the Northeast. And it's an interesting study in that it shows generational decline of testosterone levels in men. And one of the physicians that I interviewed, he told me an interesting fact, was that the high normal, right now the high normal is like in the 900s. But he says 15 to 20 years ago, the high normal was 1500. And the high normal just got dropped by some of the laboratories, their ranges. So the ranges are going down. So it's the average of unhealthy people that most physicians are treating to. Uh-huh. And the same is true in other things.
So what is this? What was this? A study? Was it like a worldwide study or an American study?
Yeah, it's called the Male. Let me just look it up here. I got it right here to refer to it. There's actually a whole bunch of them on them. But it's called the Massachusetts Male Aging Study. And it looked like testosterone levels from 1987 to 2005. Oh. And it's a fairly large study because they looked at a whole bunch of stuff. But it was... basically, one of the things that they found was that testosterone levels are going down by 1%, about 1% a year in men.
Do they indicate a reason? Like, was it a diet or just?
Some of it has to do with endocrine disrupting compounds in our the GMOs and the hormones that get put in our food, the plastics and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they ruled out weight and other factors. So it's interesting that 1%. So that what that translates into is a 60-year-old man had about 17% more testosterone 20 years ago than a 60-year-old man today.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. So mm-hmm. there's a number of studies out there that look at this.
And they're looking at GMO. They're looking at food, basically, is the reason.
Well, there's something called endocrine disrupting compounds.
Okay.
And so there's a whole range of stuff.
It's funny. I was just having a conversation about food the other day with somebody. And he brought up a good point. He goes, "When's the last time you had a tomato that really tasted like a tomato. When's the last time you cut an onion and you cried? And I mean, it made me think, you know, what the hell kind of food are we eating nowadays, you know?
Well, we're eating food that's been genetically modified so it can be transported over and stored for a large, transported over distance and stored for a long time. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you go to the food that you get at a farmer's market is totally different than the food that you get at the supermarket.
Right, right.
Even if you buy the quote unquote the organic, if you go to a farmer's market, you see stuff that you don't see at the store.
Yeah.
Because everything at the store, you know, tomatoes are so, you know, example, tomatoes are remarkably uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all essentially the same.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like saying, you know, are we supposed to be eating strawberries in February? You know, the worldwide food chain has advantages and disadvantages. You know, you can get a banana any time of the year, you know? Yeah. But, yeah, it's very strange. I didn't know about that study. It makes perfect sense the way you're saying. And do they have any kind of resolution in there? Or?
Optimization.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing that is going along with that is that sperm counts are dropping in men.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 30 years, they've dropped by about 50%. There's a big study out of Hebrew University that basically is looked at a number of studies. They looked at about 1,500 studies. It took about 10 years to write this paper. God bless them. And they said that the slope of that decline in sperm production in men is not abating. So the downward trajectory of decline in numbers is not changing. And their prediction is by about 2055, most men in the world will be infertile.
You know, it's funny you say that because I did read a couple of articles about, I guess, the worldwide population. What are we at? 7.5 billion now?
Oh, yeah.
They expect it to cap out around 10 billion and then start declining. There are scientists that anticipate that. You know?
Yeah. Well, a lot of countries are not keeping pace with their birth rates, not keeping pace with the death rate.
Mostly Europe, even us.
Europe, I think, mostly Europe, Japan. Mm-hmm. Well, the only reason why we do is we're actually a little bit ahead, not a lot, but that has to do with the fact that we have a growing and increasing Hispanic population, which generally culturally tends to have more kids.
High levels of immigration, whether it be legal or illegal, is what's
right. But even the legal, they generally tend to be. You know, a lot of them tend to be Catholic, which generally means, you know, large families, or used to mean that. So not only that, I mean, there's all sorts of things going on with men. There's a book called Countdown by Erica Swan, and she is a PhD epidemiologist out of NYU. And she talks about, she's actually one of the co-authors on this paper from Hebrew University. So she goes into a lot of detail about what's going on there. And women are actually the quality of women's eggs is dropping.
Mm.
And so it has all sorts of, as far as reproductively, it has all sorts of ramifications.
Well, sure. They're eating the same tomato as we are.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but I did see a really interesting video on YouTube about, for about 35 years, China had a one-child policy in their country where I think if you had one male, that was it. That was all you could have. And they're about to enter into a portion of time where they're going to be economically damaged by the fact that they're going to have a declining population because of that one child policy that was in effect for about 35 years. So
and you can imagine that one child is taking care of two parents, or just in general, that one group of what we would call millennials, Gen Xers, are taking care of
The baby boomers.
One of them is taking care of two baby boomers.
Right. Yeah.
Who are living longer.
Especially since the lifespan has gone up over the last 50 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a strange dichotomy of what's going on. There's a lot of ramifications to it, you know. But that's interesting, the study you pointed out, because I've always suspected something kind of strange, you know. You wonder if it's your own taste buds that are getting older and you don't really, you know, taste that tomato like you used to.
Maybe a little both.
It could be a both.
I know I use a little bit too much of a nasal spray that alters your olfactory.
Yeah.
Senses and my taste buds aren't anywhere. I mean, when my wife cooks, I can't, unfortunately, taste all the stuff that she cooks, and she's a great cook.
And
lots of people compliment her and stuff, but it's just lost on me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But back to the testosterone for a second, you did mention a lot of positives that come out of it. You know, you have enhanced focus, enhanced bone mass, you know. Do you find any negatives to it?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I have not. I think the biggest thing I find is it's a monster antidepressant for me.
Interesting.
I know that the story of about a little bit over 3 years ago, I was with my youngest daughter. We were in New Zealand for a 3.5-week trip. Uh-huh. For delayed high school graduation present. I don't know about you. When I graduated from high school, I got a watch and I had a job the next day moving furniture.
I went right to the bar. I went right to the bar, grabbed a diploma, went right to the bar.
I mean, I was hungover. I was hungover. and it was very interesting because I even though I have everything as a prescription, it's all legal. I did not want to travel internationally with something like testosterone, mm-hmm. which I have no idea what the laws are in New Zealand or whatever regarding that.
Right.
And so I didn't take it with me. And so the half-life of testosterone cyprinate, which is what I take, is 8 to 10 days. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to my wife, and it was very interesting. She goes like, is everything okay? Because she said, you seem really down. And day 10 into our trip, about 10 days, she asked me, like, did you take it to testosterone? And I said, no. And I kind of explained why. She goes, wow, that's really good. So normally you're just really upbeat. I mean, you can really tell that you're not really, there.
Was that, you think that was your testosterone lowering, or was it a withdrawal
syndrome? Oh, yeah. It was being lowered. Oh, yeah, because the half-life was 8 to 10 days. So day 8, it would be about half of what my levels would be, about half of what they were a bit.
Oh, I see. So, but it wasn't any kind of withdrawal, like a medicated.
Well, it was. I mean, there was to a certain extent. I think, I like being on it. So, uh-huh. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, it was not like a withdrawal, like from heroin or something like that. But you do notice. I know that men who have been on it and get off of it really miss it and go back on it.
Hmm. Interesting. How do you have to? You have to some sort of qualification you have to meet to for your doctor to approve that.
Well, I think again, it's finding the functional medicine doctor, uh-huh. the anti-aging doctor that's going to walk you through that process.
You think your standard?
It is a challenge.
You think your standard general practitioner probably wouldn't lean that way?
No, not a chance. Not a chance. I've been bugging my PCP for a while. For 30 years, and not even a chance. Not even a chance. I give him a lot of shit too. When I go in, because he's actually showing the signs of low testosterone.
Yeah,
he's losing muscle mass. He's skinny by nature, and he's actually shriveling up.
Mm.
His shoulders are collapsing. He's actually shriveling up.
Wow.
Myself, because of my tendencies to get fat, as I mentioned earlier, in my family, we always got fights fat as an issue. Mm-hmm. I no doubt that I would be a diabetic with wearing orthopedic shoes and everything else.
Yeah. Well, you, as I said before, you do encompass a lot of subjects in your podcast. The one thing that I found funny was you saying how teaching old guys how to have kick-ass lives. Is that, was that sort of like the,
yeah,
I'm paraphrasing.
Helping older guys create kick-ass lives. Yeah. Helping older guys create kick-ass lives for themselves and those they love. You know, Tom, you know, one of the interesting phenomenons I find is that, I'm here to show you the way if you're interested, but I've found that if people are not interested, I'm not here to convince you. Uh-huh. You know, my life is going to be just fine. And you can lead your life too, just the way you want. If you want to, if you are, you know, if you think how you are is good, more power to you. Uh-huh. But I just know that there's so many things that you can do, you know, from testosterone to peptides to all sorts of other things that you can do to enhance the quality of your life, to deal with injuries, to slow down some of the aging process and the inflammation.
I was going to say, excuse me, can you explain peptides? Peptides, is that the word you used?
Peptides are amino acids that are chained together. There's usually 50 amino acids or less, and they mimic various compounds in your body.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a whole bunch of uses. There's literally hundreds of uses for peptides. I've got three interviews I've done about peptides. And I had gone to the World Peptide Conference, and it's a very interesting line, but some of them have to do with soft tissue healing. Mm-hmm. Some of them have to do with Alzheimer's. Some have to do with hair growth, all that other stuff that's out there. So they do that. They mimic chemicals in your body.
Mm. And since I interrupted you, I was going to ask you about you did mention anti-aging. Can you explain a little bit of what that's about? And while you're doing that, I'm just going to show for the people watching us on YouTube, I'm just going to show your webpage as you're discussing that.
Sure.
But go ahead.
Well, I mean, anti-aging is, I guess I'm being told that they call it functional medicine because you can't really be anti-aging, but you can definitely mitigate the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're really talking about is mitigating the whole process.
Not medically.
Aging. Medically, yeah. With peptides and uh-huh. all, you know, testosterone and other things that are out there, mm-hmm. You know, you can make a significant difference. And, you know, we had so most people won't avail them of this themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that most of this stuff is not covered by insurance. I mean, Medicare is not going to cover this. And so it's really a lot of it's an out of pocket cash expenditure,
mm-hmm.
which requires you to be proactive in saying, okay, I'm going to devote a certain amount of resources to this. And some people do and other people don't. I think it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that some people will continue to have miserable, crappy lives, even though they have the money.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't have the strong desire, or maybe they just don't really know how it's going to feel. I know how it's going to feel when I get off my, like off my testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
I know it'd be miserable.
Yeah.
And so, But, reversing cardio, there's actually all sorts of protocols for doing something, increasing the elasticity in your blood vessels. Because mm-hmm. I was reversing cardiovascular disease in one of the interviews I did, number 106, and the cardiovascular surgeon. Who actually is doing less and less surgery and all sorts of stuff. Like I said, there's a whole wealth of things that are out there that's available to us if we take action.
Right.
So what happens on a lot of these things, and I've done it, we've all done it, where you sit there and you go to a seminar, or you listen to a podcast, and you say, that's great. And then nothing happens.
Yeah, well, that couch is comfortable, you know, Horace.
Yeah, that is. And
do you maintain an exercise routine?
Oh yeah, I exercise every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been severely interrupted because of my ostomy.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to get back into the gym. But I'm for my age, I'm pretty strong. I'm very strong. I outlift most people in the gym. For my 69th birthday in October last year, my present myself was doing a 100-pound dumbbell bench press.
Nice.
And so, I work out every day. I was training to do a Spartan race. That's got put off on the back burner. So no, I exercise every day. My morning ritual is meditation, journaling. I answer a little software that a little group that I'm in where we answer some questions, and then I kind of start my day and then exercise. Then I start my day. So,
well, our viewers, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see his webpage, oldguytalkstome.com, and you can see the wide variety of subjects that he covers in there. I didn't listen to the Stop Peeing in Your Pants one, but now just seeing the title, I got to listen to that one.
It's got to be clickbait.
Now I
find her erogenous.
Well, yeah, I got to listen to that one too, you know, with a notepad in front of me. But, what did you say? Clickbait?
Did you say that's clickbait.
Clickbait. Okay.
Clickbait,
Mm-hmm.
Stop in your pants.
But I did listen a little bit to the testosterone therapy ones that you did with Jay Campbell.
Jay's a wealth of knowledge. I met him about 5-6 years ago, and he's a wealth of knowledge. He's a wealth of knowledge in this area, and he's actually got a great book called the Testosterone Optimization Therapy Bible. And he's got his own podcast too. And he's a great guy. Actually, I'm trying to get him back on my program again.
Yeah.
Page.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you did talk about food on this one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. David Page, who was actually the creator and executive producers of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that.
Yeah. So Guy Fieri is the face for the show. But he was actually David was actually the creator and executive producer of it, I think, for about 10 years.
Hmm. Interesting.
He wrote a book called Food Americana, which talks about the history of food.
Yeah. I wonder if you read that study you were talking about sperm counts and.
I don't think so. I don't think that Dave's not interested in that.
Well, it would be good to tie his theories into that, though, you know. He's basically talking about the lousy diet Americans are on, you know.
The guy who created Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I mean, he's not looking for the organic aisle in the supermarket.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I'm amazed at how the width and breadth of your subjects that you do cover. Hacking into the Secret Service, Food Americana, Critical Race Theory. How was that one? I haven't listened to that one yet.
Yeah, what we talked about is basically Earl, he's got himself kicked off LinkedIn. He's just, he just thinks it's all a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
And it just cultivates a victim mentality. You just talk to Earl for about 2 minutes and you realize the man's not a victim and it's not going to bring up his kids to think of themselves as victims.
And you do openly talk about your ostomy. You have diverticulitis, as you and I were discussing before we started recording. So too did I. And I'm trying to tell you to look forward to the reversals. It's a level of freedom that you. You're going to enjoy it when it's done. Yeah, because I know what you're going through now.
Nothing. You know, and we learned all this through COVID too. Nothing makes you appreciate what you have more than when it gets taken away.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to say it. And again, when it's all done and you get that green light to get out of the hospital, they're going to tell you to walk. That's going to be the thing. You're going to have to do a lot of walking because that helps the healing process also. So it helped me walking around a lot, you know, after I got out of the hospital. So all of these links are available if you go to oldguytalkstome.com. And I think, like me, you'll be very interested in the wide subject matter that he covers. Yeah.
And I would really encourage your listeners to go to thestandard.academy/get magazine.
Yeah.
Because that magazine's got a lot of articles on kick-ass stuff. Like we talk about erogenous zones. Mm-hmm. We talk about the article about how to stop peeing in your pants is in there. So I have several people that I had on my podcast actually wrote articles for that magazine. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun and it's not too heavy, but it's also actionable items if you are so inclined to take action.
Yeah, are you going to put a link on your site? Because I am going to direct people to oldguytalkstome.com. And on that site, just so our listeners know, there's also a link to his Facebook page, his Twitter, his LinkedIn. You can email him from there and the places where his podcast is available. And the magazine he's talking about now, the newsletter, you can reach at www.standard.academy/get magazine.
The standard.academy.
And that's that link is also going to be on our show notes as well as oldguytalkstome.com. And I really highly recommend that you check out his podcast. I think you'll get a great kick out of it. And while getting a great kick out of it, learn a lot. So we certainly appreciate you coming here, Orest. I'm going to be following you. I'm going to be subscribing to the magazine because, you know, soon after you turn 70, I'll be turning 60. So I'm going to need to know all this crap before I get there.
Oh, it's a world. I don't even remember 60 anymore.
Yeah.
Crap.
But,
just for everyone to know is that, there are so many things available to us now that were not available even 5 years ago that can really have a significant impact on the quality of your life, especially from a regenerative standpoint. And you just need to, one is you need to find the right physician, and two, it can't be cheap.
Well, you're chopping up a little bit. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Orest. I'm sorry. We got a little atmospherics there.
Yeah, well, no, what I was going to just say is, you know, there's so many options for people. You just have to find a good quality functional medicine physician. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you got to be willing to make an investment in yourself, in your body, in your mind, to have that life that's going to be much more bountiful and much more comfortable for you. And you don't have to be miserable and old.
Well, I think the self-evident part of this whole conversation was your attitude is what affects everything else in your life. If you keep a positive attitude. Absolutely. Yeah. And with that, we'll let you go. But I do certainly appreciate your time. And again, anybody listening to us or watching us, oldmantalkstome.com, the link to which will be just below this podcast. And the standard.academy/get magazine, which is coming out when, Orest?
You know, this is a little bit, and just for everyone, you get a bonus for getting in line. You get my 12 rules of life. But with everything going on with the surgery and a few other things, I'm not sure when we're going to, the magazine's actually done. There's just some things I need to do before we put it out there.
Right.
But the magazine's magazine's been done for a couple of months, and when all this started in January, it just like totally waylaid all our timelines and everything else. So the magazine's done, but it will be coming out soon. If not in April, then definitely by the end of April, early May. If you want to get it, Bitline, as a bonus for signing up early, you get my 12 rules of life. And just to give you an idea, it's not like rules that you've heard before. Rule number 4 is, if you think someone is going to throw you under the bus, throw them under the bus first.
Okay. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these are not goody two shoe rules, but these are just like practical life lessons.
Now you say you live in Vegas. You sure you weren't from the Bronx? Cause that's a Bronx thing.
I grew up in Phoenix and just moved here about 3.5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, I might see you out there. I think I'm going out in October. I went last October with some friends of mine, but we might do it for we're all turning 60 at the same time. So, thank you
so
much. I will get in line for the magazine. I'm looking forward to learning more about it. And I'm going to listen to some of your podcasts tonight, actually.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you, Tom. And I appreciate
thank you
having me on as a guest on your program.
It was our pleasure, and have a great night. And the best of luck to you with your surgery coming up. You're going to love the fact that it's over.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Oris. Take care.